Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to go?
Sure.
Because of the cat.
Because of the cats. The cats got you excited about
it. Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. 323-870-3857 if you want to call in. But let's get started with the big one last night. Showtime, Brandon Figueroa versus Mark Magsayo, 12 rounds for the vacant WBC interim featherweight title. Speed, help me out here. What is a vacant interim title? Why would the interim not be vacant? Why would we have an interim title?
That would be the equivalent of being the tallest midget in the room, in a room of midgets.
Right? Right? That makes no sense.
No offense to all
you know, they don't like to be called midgets.
I know.
They like to be called little people.
Should have said little people.
Which even seems like more of a diss. I mean, that's what they want to be called. That's what they want to be called. But it just seems like more of a diss, you know?
You think I'm going to get a call from Human Resources tomorrow morning?
Not like Robbie did, but no. No,
Wait till he comes on. All right, we'll say that when he comes on, because
what's the matter with you?
It's hard to keep all this stuff balled up inside. You know how I am.
Jesus. Get a hold of yourself, man.
I'm sorry.
Brandon Figueroa beats Mark Magsayo by unanimous decision 118-108, 117-109 twice. This was a good fight, man. Both fighters got hit a lot. Figueroa just gets hit a lot in general to me, man. If he steps up and fights a guy with power, it could be bad. It really could be, because he gets hit.
Imagine him
more than anybody.
Inoue. No. Imagine him versus Inoue.
No.
That would be dangerous. That'd
That's
be
a dangerous.
Dangerous
fight for him. Inoue against anybody is dangerous. That's a dangerous fight for him.
Yeah.
He gets hit way too much.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where you wonder, does he work on any defense in there?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, listen, I love the whole – listen, it makes for a fan-friendly fight. Don't get me wrong. People like watching it, right? Comes from a fan-friendly perspective. But, I mean, listen, man, you got to think about, like, you're going to have a career after this, man. Like, you got to, you know, I don't know, man. He's like a candidate for CTE, man. I hate to say it, but Jesus, man, he gets hit too much.
Yeah.
Overall, it was a typical Figueroa fight, man. A lot of toughness, lacking defense. I was a little surprised that Magsayo wasn't able to do more against this guy. I really was, man. But Brandon, he doesn't stop punching. He's always busy, you know. Give me your breakdown here.
Yeah, I had this fight very close. I had it 7-5 in rounds to Figueroa. But this ref made this fight a mess. And I'll tell you why. Okay, the argument could be, if I had it 115 and 111, right? The argument's going to be, well, Beebe, you know, you throw the 2 points back in there, he still wins 115 and 113. But follow me on this one, because I'm going to bring it all together. In the eighth round, I thought Magsayo was winning that round, right? I had Figueroa up by a point after seven, right? In the eighth round, I had Magsayo winning that round, right? So he was regaining the momentum a little bit, right? So then the ref takes a point away. And instead of evening up the fight, now he's down by 2 points, right? And, you know, there's people out there that they just have a zero tolerance rule for holding. I'm not one of those people. I think there is a place for holding in the sport of boxing when it's used in a strategic way.
Yeah.
And I believe Magsayo was using this in a strategic way.
Part
and
of
I'll
mine.
Tell you
yeah.
Why. Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because Figueroa was coming in, and I'm not saying it was intentional. A lot of times he was coming in head first. And, you know, you have to sometimes grab the guy to stop him from you know, making contact with, you know, with his head on your face, right? You got to protect your face from the guy's head, so you got to hold him. And a lot of times, you know, McSay would grab Figueroa with that one arm, and he would punch him with the free hand. And even before the referee was getting in there, he would release the clinch, and he would stop punching. So as I said before many times, you've heard me say this before, when you clinch somebody and you do it in such a way where you're trying to knock them off rhythm, when they get closer, you grab them, you walk them back, you force them to have to reset their feet. You position them where you can line them up for shots that you want to line them up with, where you get yourself in position while taking them out of position. So it's almost like an offensive lineman who's just pushing the defensive lineman back to try to create that hole for the quarterback, or excuse me, for the running back. It's the same instance in boxing sometimes when a guy will grab a guy and walk him back, take him out of position, as I said, so he can put himself in position. And, you know, this was the case last night with McSayo. I don't think he was holding excessively long. I don't think he was holding and just not doing anything but hold. I thought he was actually fighting out of the clinch. I thought he was releasing the clinch and punching out of the clinch. And ironically enough, the time when the ref took the point away, it was after McSayo released the clinch, and then he walked over to him after they weren't even in a clinch and took the point away after, right? So let me finish the point here. I'll tell you where I'm going with this. So because of that point deduction, it took the momentum away from McSayo, forced him to have to worry about getting more points taken away. So he has to change the way he's fighting. And then, people, you know, he got a little tired. But again, that's because you're concerned about this referee. What's he going to do in there? And then you're getting stressed out and you're burning up adrenaline, worrying about, okay, I can't fight the way I want to fight, because I'm sure part of the strategy was, we're going to use some clinching and dirty boxing on the inside with this guy, because we know he likes to really move his hands on the inside. So we're going to wrap up one arm, punch with the free hand, walk him back, release, punch off the clinch. That was part of the strategy, I would gather, right? So now this guy forces you to have to, you know, recalibrate your strategy and go back to the drawing board. And then he's putting added pressure on you, because now you're worried about him taking points away. And also you're worried about this guy coming in head first, and you can't do anything about it because you're going to get points taken away. So I think this referee really screwed over Mark McSayo and had an impact on this fight where he should not have had that type of impact.
We took the point away, what, in the eighth round?
And then he took another point away.
Right. But I mean, was he ever in the running? I mean, the fight, I mean, was he really ever in the running in this fight?
Well, again, in my opinion, he wins that eighth round. I have it tied up. I had this fight 115 and 111. So technically, if you don't take the points away, I would have had it 115 and 130 for Figueroa. I thought the fight was close. And again, going back to the points, yeah, okay, you add them back in. But I do believe down the stretch, it affected the way McSayo was fighting, because you saw after that eighth round, things started changing a little bit. He started getting tired, a little bit tired or whatever, and he couldn't fight the way he wanted to fight, in my opinion. He had to rethink things. So I thought the fight was close. I don't know how you had it. Did you have?
I didn't score it. I was watching.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of going back. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought the fight was close, but I do think because of what the ref did, taking the momentum away and then taking another point afterward, I just think he got McSayo's head and forced him to not fight the way he wanted to fight. He had to think about, oh, every time I grab this guy is going to take a point away. And I just don't think, in my opinion, that the type of clinching that was being done in there was really egregious, in my opinion. I don't know what your thoughts are. Again,
no,
you have some boxing fans that have a zero tolerance for holding. But again, it does have its place in the sport when it's used strategically.
Yeah, I don't think they should have took points away for that. I really don't. And I mean,
yeah.
You know, this is a championship fight. Nobody came to see you ref.
Exactly.
Nobody came to see you ref. And if you're interjecting yourself too much, that right there tells me you're not a good ref. You're supposed to let these guys fight. Let them fight out of the clinch. Let them fight as much as you can. Break them. Give them a warning. Whatever you need to do. But, I mean, come on, man. I mean, to take 2 points away in a championship fight is like a death sentence. It really is. You're going to lose that fight.
And how many times in the locker room when the referee is giving the instructions, what does he say? If you have one arm free or your opponent has one arm free, he's going to be allowed to punch with the free hand, right? How many times you hear people say, punch to get out, mm-hmm. when there's one arm free, right? So That's part of the sport. You know what I mean? It's one thing if you're holding like this and you're just grabbing and you're not like doing anything and you're just grabbing, waiting for the referee to break you every time. But that wasn't the case here. I mean, these weren't long drawn out clinches, in my opinion. I just didn't see them that way.
You know, and even the chat has apparently seen this referee quite a few times, or a couple of times anyway. She said the ref is always like that. Listen, you know what? Then I blame the manager in a lot of ways, because you can say, hey, I don't want this ref. You can protest this. You can protest it. You can protest anything you want. At least put it down. And this way, if it happens, hey, you know, I don't understand why there's not more of that, because some of these refs that we see, like that ref in the Paul fight last week, it was just like, what in the world? Oh. That guy was horrible.
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 When you're in there, it's bad enough having to just fight one guy, but then when you got to fight the ref too,
right?
It's not good.
No, I agree. Jared Hurd versus Jose Armando Resendez, 10 rounds, middleweights. Jose Armando Resendez wins by TKO in the 10th round over Jared Hurd. The doctor called the fight in the 10th round. Hurd was bloody, he was swollen, taking a ton of shots. He did well at times earlier in the fight, man, but Resendez is just relentless. He completely broke down Hurd, which is usually Hurd's game, you know. I don't think Hurd is the same fighter. I really don't. And I think you're really kind of looking at the beginning of the end here if he keeps fighting. I'm not saying he'll retire, but, I mean, to me anyway, I think his title days are definitely over.
Yeah, you know, his claim to fame was always being that volume guy and that pressure guy, as you said.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, as of late, he's looking like he's lacking that confidence, that killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that volume guy that he used to be. Now he's like kind of loading up one punch at a time. It's almost like he's being overly conservative because he's worried about gassing out later in the fight. You know what I mean? Before, he would just blanket guys with pressure and throw a ton of punches. I'm just seeing the volume as of late going down. As I said, it looks like he's just conserving his energy, right? And I don't know if that's a confidence thing. Am I going to get tired late? Or, you know, because maybe I don't want to open up as much as I used to because, maybe he's becoming a little bit, resistant to wanting to get hit. I mean, no one wants to get hit, but maybe if you're overly concerned with it and it causes you to, you know, not take as many chances as you once did and become a little bit more reserved in there and less aggressive as you once were before, then maybe that there's an issue now with if you're thinking about, I don't want to take punishment in there, and that's weighing on you psychologically, then that's going to have an effect on how you're fighting, right? So maybe he's kind of losing a little bit of his edge. That he wants that.
You know, and physically he may all be there. You know what I mean? Physically, yeah. I mean, he may have physically be there, but he ain't there now.
Yeah, it could be a psychological thing.
And once that goes, once that creeps in, that doubt creeps in, that's game over.
That's it, man.
That's it.
You start second guessing yourself,
yeah,
man.
That's it.
You know?
That is it, man. But a good win for Resendez. I would love to see him fight again. He fought really well, man. He did.
Yeah, it was a good fight.
Great fight.
Very good fight. Very impressive.
Milcar Vidal versus Elijah Lorenzo Garcia, 10 rounds, middleweights. Now, Garcia won by a KO. Beeb, I'm going to turn it over to you. How'd you have this fight?
Yeah, I just thought that, Garcia is a young and up-and-coming guy, very highly touted. And I think he really stepped up here. This was supposed to be an evenly matched fight, but it was anything but that. I just think Garcia was relentless. He sort of kind of fought like the old Jared Hearn used to fight, with the pressure, the volume.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was just, imposing his will on Vidal. And everything he hit Vidal with, he was hurting him with it, you know. And he has a monster of a hook. So, he's a tough, rugged, young, explosive fighter that can punch. And it's going to be interesting to see how he progresses throughout his career, because this was kind of like, in my opinion, the first big step. This had the makings and recipe going in for a firefight. And it was for a little bit until it wasn't. So, I just think that Vidal could not deal with the pressure and the power of Garcia. And like I said, I think Garcia has a lot of potential.
Maestro asks, where does Amilcar Vidal go from here? He said, do you think he might still win a world title?
It's too early to say that. Anything is possible because, again, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, the division is going to have a totally different look to it. So to sit there, because you're going to have Golovkin's probably going to be gone. Charlo's going to be moving up. Genevieve's getting up there in age too. Who knows how much longer he has. So this division will have a totally different look to it. So it's not out of the realm of possibility to suggest that maybe he would, right? Possible. It's definitely not over for him. No.
Yeah. So.
In my opinion.
Terrell Gachet on that undercard as well versus Brandon Lynch. Gachet wins via ninth round TKO. Let's move to DAZN here. Angel Fierro versus Eduardo Estella. 10 rounds lightweights. Fierro wins by KO in the seventh. So, Beeb, let me ask you a question. So, for the $200 a year that we're paying for DAZN, that's what we're getting.
Get it right.
$224 a year. This is what we're getting. This is what we're getting here. Angel Fierro, Eduardo Estella. 1L.
No disrespect to any fighter that steps in the ropes, but I have to be honest. I just was not excited for this fight, and I was asking myself the same question. I mean, is this the type of fight that I'm going to be paying $224 a year for?
I'm going to dip in and out. I'll be honest, I'm not keeping it. I'm not keeping it.
Yeah, I may do the same, and I've talked to other people that have said they're going to do the same.
Yeah.
So
you look at that. I mean, you look at that DAZN schedule. It's garbage.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Really is.
You know, the Joshua fight, and you say, okay, well, what about the Joshua fight? Who's he fighting against? Jermaine? Yeah. Really? That's the fight you're hanging your hat on?
That fight has absolutely no buzz behind it at all.
None.
No one's really interested in that fight.
It's not a buzzworthy fight. It's not a buzzworthy fight, man.
Yeah. I still don't understand why Dillian White didn't get the call. That I still would have favored Joshua in that fight, but it would have been a little bit more intriguing.
You know why? Because his confidence has got to be shattered. This is a confidence fight for him. This is a get back fight for him.
I understand.
And listen, man, I don't think Dillian White got too much left in the tank. But that first fight wasn't why. That first fight was good. That first him and they just might have that chemistry, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think seeing as how Dillian White's coming off of a lackluster performance against Jermaine Franklin, and as well as getting knocked out by Tyson Fury, he's not getting any younger. He's got miles on him. It would have been the right time for both guys to meet. I still think it wouldn't have been that.
He beat Jermaine Franklin, did he not?
He did, but I thought it was a draw. A lot of people had Jermaine Franklin winning the fight.
So let me understand this. So in order to make the best fights possible on DAZN, we get Anthony Joshua against the guy that Dillian White just beat.
Correct.
Okay, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Does
that put it in perspective enough for you guys? I mean, really?
I understand. I understand. You need you know, kind of a confidence builder. But you've already beaten Dillian White once, knocked him out, and Dillian White himself hasn't looked great. So, I would think that you can, regardless of, you know, coming off a back-to-back loss, I would still think you can beat Dillian White, with all due respect. So is that, you know, I don't know. And again, it's like you got another UK guy. These guys got history. The press conferences would be hilarious. The back and forth.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah, I just don't understand why you needed a so-called tune-up for a tune-up.
Right.
I don't know. And I hate using that word tune-up, but, you know, this is both fights, I think, were not, you know, the toughest fights that Joshua could have taken, either Dillian White or Jermaine Franklin, you know. But we'll see. Maybe Jermaine Franklin will surprise some people. He's got a tricky style. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they gave him a big payday coming off a loss.
Yeah, it's just,
you know,
it's,
what I mean, though? Like,
yeah,
why did you... I don't understand.
It's not. It's a hard fight to, you know. I don't particularly hate the fight, but I don't love it either. You know, it's not something I can get excited for.
Would you pay $20 for it? I guess. I mean, I'll pay it. I mean, I guess I get to see what else is on there too. I get to see what else is on for the month of April there.
Yeah,
You know.
And then they love to say that, okay, well, it's not going to be pay per view. But it kind
of
is.
Well, of course it is. You're paying for the channel.
You're paying a membership. You're paying a membership fee.
Right.
Like you're paying for it.
And then, like, you pay for the membership fee, and then you got to pay on top of that.
Yeah, it's
just like Apple TV. Apple TV's got the same thing, where you pay for Apple TV, right, and you get their shows and everything. But then there's on top of that. If you want to watch the movies, that's another payment. If you want to watch soccer, you can $80 for the season or whatever the case may be.
Well, get me started on Apple.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm an Android guy.
Stop it. What's the matter with you? Get with the program here. All right. So, I don't know if this was on ESPN or what.
I don't believe it was.
I don't think it was either. But Lewis Ritson versus O'Hara Davies. I didn't see the fight. So, Davies wins by KO in the ninth. It was a body shot, apparently, that ended the fight with Lewis Ritson.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, man, I don't know if it was on ESPN or not. I didn't see it on there, but, you know, I didn't overly look for it either.
It was a very impressive knockout.
That's what I hear, man. Body shot. Yeah. Huh? Was it left hook? Left hook to the body?
I think so. Yeah, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Let's see here. UFC. Anybody a UFC fan out there? John Jones versus Ciryl Gane. Last night, that fight took about 3 minutes, maybe less, I think two something. John Jones annihilated that guy. That fight wasn't even close. As soon as John Jones got him to the ground, he choked him out. It was like Ciryl Gane had no clue what to do down there. And I knew his wrestling wasn't good because of the way Francis Ngannou beat him. But, I mean, come on, man. He made that look too easy. Jones, after 3 years, you think about this. He has been off of the sport for 3 years. Last time he came in, he weighed 205. Last night, what did he weigh, 248?
248, yeah.
248, so 40-some pounds north of where he's used to fighting. He's markedly bigger than he was. You could see the 40 pounds difference. And just annihilated that guy. It wasn't even close. And we haven't even seen John Jones fight that well. You figure his last two fights could have went either way. That was over 3 years ago. And he to come in, and, I mean, he kept saying it all week, it's a mismatch, and, man, they knew what they were doing, I tell you that, because he ran right through him. JC is saying, Grasso, Grasso, Grasso. Yeah, JC, she beat Valentina Shevchenko last night by a submission in the fourth round, and it was perfect. I mean, she got around her back. Put her right in the choke, and that was game over, man. She looked great last night. First Mexican champ, Alexa Grasso. Yeah, there you go, man. She was awesome. She deserves every bit of the accolade she's getting today, that's for sure. She fought well. She fought very well. Very game, man, because Valentina was getting a lot. That was, I thought Valentina was ahead in that fight, but man, she stuck in there, man. She sure did. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here, Beeb. You can find them. All right, March 11th. I believe this is Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Friday?
I believe so. Let me double check.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I'm sorry. It's a Saturday.
Ah, okay. All right. So let's see here. So March 11th is a Saturday. ESPN Plus, Tony Yoka versus Carlos Takam, 10 rounds heavyweights. This is another one. This is another one that irritates me to no end. ESPN also, I heard, raising their rates. According to Ringside Robert, they are raising their rates again.
Don't listen to that guy. Yes, I know.
Stop, Beeb.
I haven't heard anything.
Stop it.
It's a fountain of misinformation.
Stop it. What's wrong with you? So ESPN is most likely raising their rates, and they give us Tony Yoka versus Carlos Takam. Beautiful, yeah. And then the three undercard, I never heard of these guys in my life. March 11th on Liverpool, England, on DAZN, Diego Pacheco versus Jack Cullen, 10 rounds super middleweights. Liam Parro versus Robbie Davies Jr., 10 rounds junior welterweights. Let's see here. I think Campbell Hatton is on the card against the dreaded TBA. Again, this is not worth paying for. This is not worth me giving you $20-some dollars a month or whatever you're charging. It's just not.
These are domestic-level fights, bro.
Very much so.
With all the respect, that's what they are, man. Got to be real about it.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen, here's the deal. And let's put this in perspective because these are first-world problems. 10 years ago, we're sitting there wondering, like, why can't we – I wish we could watch the fights. You know, I wish I could watch this fight or that fight. We're in an age now where we can watch any fight anytime. You know, if we want to look for it, we'll find it. We'll get it. We'll watch the fight. You know, but if we're paying, you know, and you keep raising your rates every single year, but this is the product that you're giving us. The product should get better. The more you charge, the better the product should be, and it's not the case. You're giving us a mediocre product. For sure. Now, help me out here. March 12th in Sydney, Australia. This is on a Sunday, okay, for Sydney, Australia. But I believe this is on Showtime, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Which fight is it?
This is Tim Zhu versus Tony Harrison.
That's a Showtime fight, correct?
12 rounds for the WBO junior middleweight interim title. Now, I don't know where we can watch or when we can watch this. You know what I mean? I don't think it's Sunday, but I don't know. So it could be, I don't know when it's, I haven't looked at the TV. So just keep an eye out. That's the main fight for this weekend, Tim Zhu versus Tony Harrison. A lot of hype coming behind Tim Zhu, especially from Australia. Tony Harrison, super bad. We know he's really good. We know he's really defensive. And this guy can put on a clinic. Does he beat Zhu?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. D-Style just said it's Sunday in Sydney and Saturday for us. That makes sense. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure, you know. I wasn't sure, like, what time. D-Style, do you know what time on Saturday it's showing?
The card starts at 9, it says, on the schedule.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, starts at 9.
And D-Style, yes, you are an honorary Australian right now. That's right. So, yeah, I think Tim Zhu beats him, too. Do you think it's competitive? Do you think it's at least competitive, or you think Tim Zhu just won?
I do think it's competitive in spots, but I hate to say this, but I think in customary fashion, down the stretch, I just think Harrison will fade.
Yeah, and I think the Harrison's getting to that point. I think Harrison.
How many times
I love
has he done
Harrison.
It?
I love Tony Harrison, man, but I think he's getting to that point where he's kind of almost being relegated to like a gatekeeper status now. You know. Like, if you can beat Harrison, you're the guy. You know, you're definitely a contender. You're definitely up in the line.
Yeah. It's a tough fight for Harrison and Zhu, but I think, like I said, given Tony Harrison's track record, he always tends to just fade down the stretch. He was beating Willie Nelson. He gets stopped late. Beating Charlo. Stopped late.
Yeah, beating Charlo in that fight. He was winning that fight, I thought, anyway. That second Charlo fight. And,
same thing with Jared Hurd. He's having some good moments against Jared Hurd. Gets stopped late. Yeah. As soon as that ninth round comes around, what happens?
He
always gets that that one shot gets through and boom, it's over. Lights out.
How many rounds do you think this goes?
9.
You think it goes 9?
9 or 10.
I think Zhu is going to put on a show. I think he stops him in 6. Within six rounds. Yeah, within 6 rounds, I think Zhu stops him.
DraftKings goes live in mass, man. He's going to be on a tear, man, because I don't like using the offshore account. It's too much of a hassle getting the money in and out. Now I'll be legit with DraftKings, baby.
I remember the old days when I had an offshore account, and this was years ago. We actually had to fax in the picks. So you'd have to run it in. You'd have to get the card out, fax the picks over, and, yeah, so I'd have to drive. I'd have to drive to, like, a Kinko's or wherever it was, like, back in the day, and or, like, any kind of printer shop or whatever, and they could fax it for me. So, yeah.
Fucking wire the money in. You got to go to a Western Union, get a code.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I don't want to jump through this anymore. Just make it legal, man.
Yes, very much so.
Is it illegal in Ohio?
Yeah. DraftKings law. Yeah, and they'll give you, like, the cool thing about, like, DraftKings and basically all of them, they'll give you, like, $200 to start. So, like, you'll bet, like, $5, and they'll give you, like, $200 worth of bets. Now you got to win the bets, or they'll give you money to play with or whatever. Now, if you win them, you get to keep them. So, you know, but you get to, you know, play with the money and stuff like that. And if you win, you keep the money. So it's – they got great deals, man. They do. That's how they keep you interested.
Yeah, and I like that DraftKings interface – a lot better than the FanDuel interface. I'm gonna go with the DraftKings. I'm not gonna go with FanDuel.
Go with both of them because they're both gonna give you money. Every one of them are gonna give you money. Yeah,
that's
you get
right.
Money from all of them. So just do all of them.
Right. Yeah.
Get that cheddar, son.
That's it.
All right. News and rumors. Beeb, Tank Davis, and Ryan Garcia are official. Talk Sport, CBS, ESPN, Showtime, and many more outlets have stated this fight is official for April 22nd. Beeb, you seem to be the only holdout. Beeb, you seem to be delaying the pie. Beeb, I saw you arguing with Steven Espinoza this week on Twitter. Friend of the show. Friend of the show, mind you. Steven Espinoza. Yes. The guy from Showtime. You know, the big head honcho over there. He told you everything is signed, sealed, and delivered with
no,
the
he didn't.
Of the venue. Beeb.
No, he didn't.
Beeb.
He told, what was the quote that I sent you? I got to find the quote that I sent you. Where he said, when you don't have both fighters in-house.
The very next day. I'm talking about the next day, Beeb.
It's hard to get both people signed.
Let's not just take snippets. Let's not just take snippets. Let's take the whole conversation.
The whole thing he said. The venue, this is what I asked him. And this was on, what day was this? What's today? Today is the 5th, right? This was 5 days ago. So this was on roughly around March 1st, I asked him this.
Right.
And I asked him about the venue. He said the venue hasn't been confirmed to anyone because it hasn't been determined. Tough to lock in a venue deal on a non-in-house fight when you don't have a signed agreement. What does that mean? You don't have a signed agreement, Eric.
It means you don't have a signed agreement for the venue.
Okay.
That's what he was talking about. But now, let me go here. And D-Style, we'll get to your question in just a second. I want to address D-Style's other one. Beeb is like the Japanese soldier, still holding out the fort 20 years after World War II was over.
Listen, I got a pie bet on this. I'm prepared to smash a pie full steam ahead in my face.
We both
confirmed. You think I want to be right here? You think I want to be right here?
We both confirmed that the T-Mobile Arena is open that week, that entire week. We also confirmed that Allegiant Stadium, Raider Stadium, the Death Star, is open that entire week.
I'm not selling 65,000 tickets.
I also confirmed that the MGM Grand Hotel, the night of the 22nd, that whole weekend, $500. Maybe they got a show. So I went to the Luxor. That you can get a room for $39 during the week.
Okay.
It was $250, $300. Every hotel I looked at had an elevated price on that day, that weekend. Beeb, when are you doing the pie?
Well, let me ask you this. Did I not show you the text from the PBC person that would be able to answer the question if the T-Mobile arena is locked in yet?
Why would he tell you?
Why would he not?
Why would he tell you?
Why would he not tell me? What's the big secret?
What do you mean, why would he not tell you? Because it hasn't been announced.
What's the holdup then? What? Give me. Answer this question for me. What is the benefit of delaying the announcement of this fight? Or delaying the announcement of the venue of this fight? What is
I
the
don't
benefit?
Know, but it's not unprecedented.
What's the cost-benefit? What's the cost-benefit analysis on that?
It's not unprecedented, though. It's not. You
is
know, listen, they say they're fighting in Las Vegas.
Is it unprecedented
it
to hit the lottery? Is it unprecedented to hit the lottery?
Yes.
No?
It is unprecedented to hit the lottery.
No.
For anyone to hit the lottery, absolutely it's unprecedented. $1 million jackpot?
Unprecedented means it hasn't been done before.
Unprecedented. Okay. I'm thinking unusual.
So it could be done, but it's not common. This, can we at least agree this is not optimum? Not optimal, I should say, not optimum. This is not
optimum for what? Everybody seems to know that the fight is taking place except you.
Why can't you buy tickets? Why do you have to wait 6 weeks out?
You cannot buy tickets because there is no venue right now. They have not decided on a venue.
Okay.
That's why.
So what is the benefit of delaying this venue? That's all I'm trying to ask. I'm just confused.
I don't know that there's any benefit. I don't know if there's any benefit.
Why is there – explain to me what the holdup is. I just find this holdup extremely bizarre.
Gervonta Davis said via Twitter that it's going to be at T-Mobile. I think the tweet was deleted or something like that. That's what I read anyway. And there's a lot of buzz pointing to T-Mobile here.
A lot of people are saying T-Mobile.
A lot of people are saying T-Mobile, yes.
But no one's confirming it.
No one's confirming it yet. Because maybe they can't confirm it. Maybe legally they can't confirm it. Who knows what's in the contract?
Again,
But we do know this. The fight is in Vegas, so it doesn't matter. So if you are hell-bent on going to Vegas to watch this fight, you know there's going to be a fight in Vegas on the 22nd.
So if you planned on going to this event, right?
Yes.
Would you already, knowing what you know now,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to go to this event really bad, knowing what you know now, without the venue and the tickets on sale, would you take time off from work? Would you buy a plane ticket? And would you rent out a hotel room, knowing what you know now?
Would I?
Yeah.
No.
Why?
Because I don't know if I can secure a ticket. And if I can't secure a ticket, then the whole thing is moot. I know I can get down there. I know I'll be able to find a hotel room. But if I can't secure a ticket, then the whole thing's lost.
You don't think you could buy a ticket online when it's announced immediately?
No. I don't know. Look at what's her face? That Taylor Swift chick. Remember that singer or whatever? She put her tickets out there. The whole
thing
crashed.
I'm going to book a hotel and a flight. I'm going now. Will you refund me if the fight gets canceled or it doesn't happen?
I won't refund you or Maestro if the fight doesn't happen because I have nothing to do with this.
Listen, on Monday, if this thing gets announced, I'll go live and smash a pie in my face just for that.
What
I
kind
will.
Of pie?
A cream pie, banana.
You're gonna get cream pied.
I'll go to Manny's Bakery, which is literally 2 minutes from my house, right on Broadway, and I will say Felipe. Can I get that banana cream right there? No, the big one. The big one. Make sure, I don't want the cream too hard, but make sure it wasn't in the fridge too long. I want a soft fit. Thank you, Felipe. And I'll bring it right here. Put the safety glasses on because I don't want any retinal damage.
Sure.
Boom, right in the face. Right in the face. No corneal abrasion. Boom, right in the face.
Clarissa says the fight is not happening. Again, everything points to it is happening.
Look at a lot of people are saying on his chat the fight isn't happening.
Who?
Go up, scroll up and down the chat. Let me see.
I am. Clarissa's one.
Notorious VC. Beeb is 100% right.
The fight won't happen on April 15th. Beeb already won the pie bet. He said the fight won't happen on April 15th. That's not the bet.
Not the bet. It's not official until we have the venue. No venue, no fight. That's pocket. All right. What else?
Yeah, that's a whole truckload of people, Beeb. Yeah. Beeb, I mean, that's two. That's two people. That's a lot.
I love three
Stop
people.
It. Stop it.
That's a lot. But anyways, I wouldn't mind being wrong here, bro. Believe me.
You're wrong.
Was I wrong about the Fury? Was I wrong about the Fury Joshua fight? You kept telling me I was wrong about that. So did you?
I did. I did. Right. I did. And I was wrong. Okay. I was wrong.
Right.
But I'm not wrong here.
Right. Maestro said I'm right too. That's look at trolled another guy. The numbers are increasing. Let's do a poll.
Maestro, you and Beeb believe that OJ's innocent. All right? That pretty much speaks for itself. So that, in you know, we could just consider that, you know, come on.
Do a nice poll here. Will the fight happen?
530. Robert, you're live.
Hello,
Robert,
guys.
Robert, I honestly didn't want to do this, and I
Joe,
apologize.
Why are you going to start already?
I'm just I have to do it though. I got a call from Human Resources.
Oh,
they told
God.
Me you called them. They told me you called them and asked for your job back. And unfortunately, they relayed to me that you are on the do not hire list. I'm sorry. I did everything I could. I advocated for you. I advocated for you very heavily to
okay,
no avail.
For your information, Joe.
There was a clause in your contract. There was a clause in your contract that said if you committed gross misconduct that you could never be rehired again. And they took you not getting the zone and
okay,
ESPN Eric, Plus
so
and
let
not
me know
watching
when
the
this
fight
is over.
As gross misconduct, right?
Let me know if this when. Let me know when
well,
this
I'm
is
just,
over.
I'm just letting you know what they told me and my
Ross
deepest
fancy with the secretary.
My deepest sympathies go out to you, man, because
yeah, okay.
I don't
deepest
agree with the decision.
Sympathies.
I don't agree with the decision, but again, Ringside Reporter. And Beeb Industries, we have what's called.
Let me know when
the show's
over, guys.
You know, we have investors, and we have to you know abide by what the investors want. We're a publicly traded company, and this is part of the, you know, this is part of the part and parcel of being
okay,
a publicly
Eric,
traded company.
Okay, Eric, how am I supposed to talk
about
boxing when
he's
going on like this?
Go ahead. I mean, I'm just telling you what they said, but go ahead.
Okay. Enough with the garbage already. Okay.
Wow.
First of all, Joe.
That's another reason why you can't get rehired because you're so dismissive
First of all, Joe, I was in total agreement with you about the fight not happening. But guess what? It's happening whether you want it to happen or not, because I know people in Las Vegas who have told me that T-Mobile is available that week. The Raiders Stadium is available that week. And so is MGM Grand, just like Eric said. Now, Eric, you wanted me to talk about
no
the Jake Paul.
Okay, first of all, Robert, I did not say the MGM Grand was open. T-Mobile and Allegiant Stadium, the Raiders Death Star,
yeah,
is open.
They're open, yeah. That fight is
okay.
happening in Las Vegas, but I've got a question here.
Are jacking up the prices on that day. Go ahead.
Exactly. But isn't this supposed to be only a Showtime pay-per-view, or am I wrong
yeah.
about that?
Lies again.
No, that's what I understood.
Because
the zone is supposed to be part of it, too, as well.
But I don't think it's a Showtime pay-per-view event.
Because last night when I'm watching
they're
DAZN,
it's a joint pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, last night when I was watching DAZN, they said you could pay for it on DAZN too. So what's the deal here?
I heard it's a joint pay-per-view.
Are we supposed to buy it through Showtime, or are we supposed to buy it through DAZN?
Well, here's the thing.
Buy it wherever you want to buy it. I mean,
once again, how much sense does that make, putting it on both networks? Because if you're DAZN, you're going to lose buys to Showtime. If you're Showtime, you're going to lose buys to DAZN. Well, everything about this fight just makes no sense to me. But continue.
I heard
the same thing.
Yeah, I don't understand what they're doing here. This is not a Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis type of where you have to share the pay-per-view with Showtime and HBO.
Listen, let me jump in here. It's not a Mike Tyson versus Lennox Lewis fight. I get that. That's a fight that comes along once every generation of fighters. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that being said, listen, this is the biggest fight in boxing right now, is it not?
I think Fury versus Joshua would be bigger than this.
Yep.
In England.
How about Fury?
Wilder versus Joshua?
All right, guys, I can't hear you. Somebody stop talking here. Go ahead, Gabe.
What about Wilder versus Joshua?
No, I don't. I mean,
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you.
Tank and Ryan are really popular. You have no idea. They have a fan base. They are both popular guys.
Here's my problem, and I told you this earlier. Will these Instagram followers and TikTok followers, these young kids, will they dig into their pocket and buy the pay-per-views?
Nobody buys pay-per-views anymore. Nobody. Nobody buys. You know? Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't think anybody. I mean, you know, what do you think this pay-per-view gets? Now, let's break it down. Gervonta Davis, listen, his pay-per-views are getting, what, 200,000 maybe?
Yeah, Ryan's never been on.
Right.
I would say this could do, realistically speaking. Well, here's a problem now. You don't have much time to promote it, right? I would say it would probably do 400,000.
Well, and here's another problem.
Right. Yeah.
Here's another problem, guys.
I'd say 400,000.
Here's another problem, guys. If you got two networks charging people for the same pay-per-view, how are they going to divide up the numbers? How are we going to know if it does 400,000 or 500,000 pay-per-views? You're going to have
again,
to go
again. It was announced. It was announced. It was a Showtime pay-per-view. That's what in everything I read. It said Showtime pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Now if you figure it on the phone, maybe you pay for it and it takes you to Showtime. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. But I'm just telling you what I've heard about this whole thing.
Okay.
I'm not going to be I'm not going to be like Robbie and pretend I know what's going on.
No. Speaking of pay-per-views,
why you're out in the good graces of Maurice Wilson, because you're such a liar.
Speaking of pay-per-views, last Sunday I didn't have to pay for a pay-per-view. I actually got to listen to the Jake Paul-Tommy Fury fight.
I didn't
have to pay a dime for it.
Yeah, listen to this.
If you have a smart speaker such as a Amazon device or a Google device, you can get stations from the U.K., last Sunday, I was able to get both talk sports stations from the United Kingdom, and I actually listened to the entire card, both undercard and main fights.
How did you do that?
I just told my Amazon device to play whatever station. I can tell her to play whatever station I want, and she'll play them because it's part of my Amazon subscription.
Right. How did you find it though? I mean, how did you say? You know what I mean.
Which station was it, Robbie? Which station was it?
Talk Sport and Talk Sport 2. They have two of them over there. And what they did is, Talk Sport 2 had the undercard, and Talk Sport had the main fights: the Badu Jack fight and the Jake Paul fight. And whenever a British fighter is involved in a big fight, they do put it on the radio over there, especially for those that don't want to pay for fights.
So let me ask you this, Robbie.
Okay.
Does an Was it an enjoyable experience?
Listening to the fight without having the visual? Yeah, it was, because they did a very good job of describing, and it was very easy to score.
I mean, that's the equivalent of having sex with a blow-up doll. It's not real.
Sound like a man of experience. I won't go there. Anyway,
they're going to do
the same thing, guys, with the Anthony Joshua fight on April 1st. And the Joe Joyce.
I mean, if you
fight
think about it, it's just like when we do a fight cast or something like that. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes they may not be watching it. We're commenting and we're, you know, going nuts and, you know, acting stupid and everything. But
right.
I mean, like, you know.
I didn't have to pay $50 for that. I got to hear it for free. You know?
Well, you can hear it for free if you go on YouTube, Robbie. You can go on YouTube and listen to people do a live fight cast.
Yeah,
a lot of people do the fight cast as well.
I know. I've watched a few of those.
You've never done.
Anyway, but no, Eric wanted me to bring that up, but I found that confusing with the whole advertising thing, because both networks are, both Showtime and DAZN are advertising. This is pay-per-view. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And when I read clearly that it's a Showtime pay-per-view, that's why I asked the question. So anyway, and Eric, you're right about the upcoming schedule on DAZN. Number one, you know that streaming services are going to raise their price. But in my opinion, this is a bad move on DAZN's part, because if you're going to jack up the price as much as you are, then you need to go out and work with other promoters and get other fights on there and stack your fight weekends, so people will actually know what kind of money that they're getting, you know, what they're paying for. Anyway, that's all I've
got.
So
will you, let me ask you a question. So will you pay for DAZN for the year, or will you dip in and out?
I'm going to pay for it for this year, but if they jack it up next year, then I will do it month to month.
Why don't you do it month to month now and just buy, like, let me ask you a question. Did you watch that fight yesterday on DAZN?
Yes, I did. I watched the fight card yesterday.
Hey, did you see the O'Hara Davies fight? The Lewis Ritson. Where was that at?
That was on DAZN. Oh no. I looked on ESPN yesterday, Eric. It wasn't there. They normally pick those fights up, but it wasn't there.
I told you it wasn't on. He's fibbing again. Oh, go ahead.
Yep.
Stop it, man. What's wrong with you?
Trying to tell him he had you believe it was on ESPN Plus.
I didn't have him believing it. I was telling him what I found. Every time he said a fight wasn't on somewhere,
you let him believe it was on ESPN Plus, and because of that, he's out there telling people it was on ESPN Plus. You missed
that. No, I didn't.
Oh.
Eric, did I make you believe that it was going to be there? I told you that they picked those fights.
I had no idea where it was going to be. I didn't see it listed, but I didn't know where.
You misled him, Robbie. You misled him. Just admit it.
Joe the troublemaker.
Take accountability, Robbie.
Anyway.
Take accountability for your actions, Robbie.
Okay, I'm out of here, guys. We'll see you later.
All right, Robert. Oh, what is she saying?
Mrs. Herrick is yelling at him.
She was yelling at you. I think Mrs. Herrick was yelling at you.
Telling Robbie to stop lying.
No, I think she was yelling at you. Let me see. Hey, Robert, are you there?
Yeah.
What did your mom say?
She told Joe to take a hormone pill and quit yelling at me.
take a hormone pill, Mrs. Herrick. Please.
Okay, thanks, Eric.
All right, man. What did she say?
She's roasting me, man.
She is, man. That's funny, man. Miss Eric is the nicest person on the planet, too. And you're on her bad side. And you're on her bad side.
It's not a good thing.
What's the matter with you? How could you not get along with Mrs. Harris?
Robbie tries to play the victim, and then Mrs. Herrick kind of feels bad for him, and then, you know, so he is. He's very manipulative, you know. Very manipulative. That's all it is. Like, he's he's always going to be mommy's little boy, man. You know how that is.
Mama Harris yelling. Reese Mack says she told Robbie to hang up. Oh, guys. Our chat, I swear to God, is not for the faint of heart. That's for sure, man. If you got a thin skin, stay out of here. All right. Let's see here. 773 Chicago, I believe. You're live.
Chi-town.
Oh, Jesus.
What's the word?
Look what just slipped into the cracks.
The word on the street is Jake Paul is the king of boxing.
Right?
King of combat.
Gotta be.
Jake Paul.
He's gotta
Title
be.
Title Town, USA. what do I say about
town,
this?
Baby.
All the people were trashing him, clowning him. He's this and he's that. Look who's laughing now. 750,000 buys is not an easy task. We got some of the biggest names in the sport that can't pull that feat. So I just got to say, big props to Jake Paul, big props to Tommy Fury pulling off that big-time business venture. And I will say this. The people who discredit him and say, oh, this, he's this and that, because he sucks, he's a novice. But the fact that he's such a novice, or he sucks, he has no skills, and he's still getting in there, I think that's even more credit. That's even more bravery, the fact that he has no skills, and he's in there with the elite fighters. Because you see every fight he's in. You're going back watch Tyron Woodley, watch Silva. It's neck and neck. These guys are battling. He's not sticking and moving. This is a battle, and he's grinding it out every fight, in there, taking big shots, giving it back. So I just don't understand how you can hate on the kid. And I just want to say a shout-out to Jacob Paul. Jacob Title Town Paul.
There it is. Title Town, baby. Love it. Love it. He's always got good calls, baby. Always. Beeb, let's talk about it. 750,000 buys. Who's the only guy that can do that? He's got to be from Title Town, right? Oh, wait, he is. Jake Paul. Most Valuable Promotions has now confirmed the fight has done 775,000 pay-per-view sales. In case you're wondering who Most Valuable Promotions are, they're the promoters of the fight.
Do you think that's worldwide, though? Do you think that's the worldwide number, or is that the United States? Probably the worldwide number, right? Do you think it's accurate, that number?
Between you and I?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't, and I mean, but I'll tell you this, MVP announces 750,000 buys. If I'm Fury and if I'm Jake Paul, listen, man, I better be getting paid for 750,000 buys. Does Jake Paul own the MVP?
He's like a partner with that guy that used to be with the UFC, the accountant from the UFC. What's his name? Kenisi or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember. But like if Tommy Fury is going to get paid by buys, which I don't know if that was in his contract. I don't know. So this all may be a moot point.
Well, he's getting a percentage too. They're both getting a percentage.
Well, then if that's the case, then I better get a percentage on 775. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
or 750 or whatever it was. Yeah, 750.
Yeah, that's what, I don't know. I heard that number, but I also heard 500,000. I heard 200,000. So
I heard the same thing, but this is coming from the promoter. So
All right.
You know, so I mean, listen, man, they got to be somewhat responsible, I would think. And again, if you're going to unleash that number, then you better be ready to pay said people for that number.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if they want to inflate a number, I mean, they can do that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I can't confirm or deny that, bro. I don't know. I don't know what to believe in this sport anymore, to be honest with you.
I don't know either. Yeah. What's Maestro talking about? Andrew Tate? That guy told me to stop talking about Andrew Tate. Did you hear about Andrew Tate? Did you hear he has cancer? He has, like, lung cancer now?
Something with lung cancer or something like that?
Something like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I heard that, but I don't know. Again, I don't know how true that is either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm not down for what he did, but I don't wish cancer on anybody. Jesus. Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. So Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao, lobbying for a fight with Conor Benn. Yeah, you heard that right. Last month, Sean Gibbons, an advisor for Pacquiao, suggested that he has that he's had preliminary talks with Eddie Hearn about the matchup. However, he said until they close the thing with Conor Benn, you know, it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to be in serious talks with him. On his Twitter account Thursday, Gibbons posted a mock poster of Pacquiao versus Benn with the tagline, back to business. Gibbons then suggested in the tweet he was waiting for a response from Eddie Hearn. I guess because the WBC cleared him because he was just eating eggs, not taking, of course, you know, illegal substances.
He's going to be on the Piers Morgan show on Monday, too, to talk about
it. He's a moron. That guy, I'm not talking about Piers Morgan, I'm talking about Conor Benn. And I'm talking about the WBC, too. You can lump them into this nonsense. Eggs? Really? Eggs. That's what you're standing on now, eggs. How many eggs would he have had to eat to get that result?
And how can you do this? And why isn't that 270-page document being revealed to the British Board of Boxing Control?
Like your boy is Cool Hand Luke, just sitting there eating eggs all day. You know what I mean?
remember that movie?
Yeah, like he just ate like 40-some eggs right in a row. He was doing that for training. What was wrong with
that.
You?
Maybe I'll watch that tonight. I like that movie.
That was a good movie. Showing her age here, Beef. Terrence Crawford, his mandatory is now Alexis Roca. And if he wants to keep the belt, it looks like he's going to have to fight Alexis Roca. Beeb, I don't understand. Terrence, and listen, man, at this point, Errol Spence just doesn't want to fight that guy.
Yeah.
And when
you take a look at the Showtime schedule, right, neither Charlo brother is on that schedule or Errol Spence. That's bizarre, isn't it?
Well, he's trying to make a fight with Keith Thurman. Everybody's like, when? You know, when is that fight going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, where are the two Charlos at? Well, the one Charlo's injured.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, come on, man. Like, really, like, I don't understand. Like, why in the world? There wasn't enough money for you two to get together for real? Really? There wasn't that much? I mean, what?
And they still can't make Fury versus Usyk either, man. That
I don't understand because both guys are basically under top rank.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Aram is real close. Apparently, Aram is real close with the manager over there.
Yeah,
Usyk's manager. They work all the time together. So, what is the holdup here? Does anybody know what the holdup here is?
Supposedly, it's the money, I guess, from Fury.
Yeah,
that's kind of aggravating.
Alexis Roca is the one that he said that who KO'd Blair the Flair.
That's correct, yeah.
And Blair the Flair is looking for a new promoter. He says that Golden Boy not cutting it anymore. So he's going to try to get a new promoter. Listen, how old is Blair Cobbs? What, 34? 30? He's in his
30s. He's up there.
He's a charismatic dude. Yeah, he's a charismatic dude and everything. But I don't know, man. It's an uphill climb. If I were him, I'd get to the PBC. Try to get to the PBC, man. Try to get over there. They'll keep you busy.
Go ahead, Eddie Hearn.
Yeah. Creed 3 debuted this week. I saw it Wednesday on like one of those pre-things or whatever. You know, you can see it before it actually comes out. So we went and saw it. It was pretty good. Just like any other Rocky or boxing movie, you kind of have to suspend reality for a little bit. You know, especially like during the fight scenes when they're throwing from the floor and connecting, that kind of thing. But the premise is this guy who was in jail. I guess he was friends with Adonis Creed. He was in jail for 18 years. Now he gets out, and he's older than Creed. And Creed's already retired, right? This takes place like 3 years later, like after he's already retired and everything like that. The guy comes back. He's older than Creed, and then you know, finds his way into a title shot and everything like that. But then that's kind of where the story starts, you know, but you do kind of have to, it's a good movie. It's a good story. Time-wise though, when you're looking at it, you're like, I don't know it, but it's a fun movie. Put it that way. Friend of the show, Tony Bellew's in it. Terrence Crawford's in it. Tons of boxers. Jose Benavides is in it. He plays like one of the main roles.
Bellew's in it again.
Yeah. Bellew's in it again.
Does he have a decent sized role?
No, he's in the beginning of it. He fights. Yeah, he fights in the beginning of it, so it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, but it's a good story. It's a good story. Again, you do have to suspend some reality for a little bit when you watch that.
How are the fight scenes? Are they really unrealistic? Or?
Yeah, they're pretty unrealistic. Now, a lot of it's, you know, they have points of it where, yeah, that looks realistic, or that's what would happen, or that's a realistic shot, or whatever like that. But some of these where they get caught that clean, like, really? Like, I mean, because you're swinging from out here. You're not going to catch anybody like that, especially not a seasoned pro, the heavyweight champion of the world. Come on. You'd think he'd know how to move from a punch. You know what I mean? Pocket said he heard the fight scenes were bad. Heard the fight scenes were like anime, Tony Ayo. Yeah, the fight scenes, they weren't, I mean, there was, they had good parts to them. Most of them are just like Rocky scenes, though. Yeah, Chris Mannix is in it, unfortunately. But they're like Rocky fight scenes. You remember with the Rocky Apollo Creed when they're just, you know, it's never anything tight or anything like that. It's always, you know, you're getting blasted.
Is Sergio Mora in it?
I can't remember if he is or not. I'll be honest with you. I can't remember if he is or not.
Is Todd Grisham in it?
Maybe. Because I remember Mannix was in it. Luckily, we don't have to hear him talk too much. You know,
Is Akin Barak in it?
No, come on. This is a movie here. They're not in it. They might have been in the crowd.
Is Radio Raheem in it?
Radio Raheem. That, I'll tell you what, man. Listen, I usually like Radio Raheem, but I don't know if that was, like, too much for him or whatever. I just didn't dig him in that whole interview type stuff.
I didn't like that.
I didn't dig him there, man. And I think he'll get better. I think that's probably his first big-time thing, and I think he'll get better. But yeah, I didn't. But listen, man, that's a hard thing to do. Everybody thinks it's really easy. That's a hard thing to do. Okay, what he did there.
Yeah.
And but that being said, man, he looked like it was his first one. So.
Was Ellie set back in this one?
No.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Out of the three Creed movies, right?
Yeah.
Where do you rank this one?
I do like the second one the best. This is a good one, though. This is a good one.
You don't think they should give, like, Ellie Sheffield a role? Like he could be, like, one of the reporters at a press conference seeing reporting or something like that, no?
Maybe he could have been in the jail scenes with the other guy. I don't know. Maybe they could have showed him in jail with Sekbak or something like that, and, like, him assaulting, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
That's
no,
crazy.
I don't think they could have found a role for Sekbak in this movie. Because, you know, when he asked him, you know, what do you like to eat for breakfast, I think that's pretty much where it goes south.
Okay.
So there you go. All right. Baltimore, 443. I am the king of Baltimore. Bend the knee, 443. You're live.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Who are we speaking with?
Troy.
Troy from Baltimore, of course.
Troy
of course.
From Baltimore.
How you doing?
Got a bunch of people from Baltimore that called. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Troy.
Yes, I'm reading the headline. I'm good. So, you know, I'm reading your title of your show. Says that Jake Paul at 750 is the king of boxing. Don't
king of boxing,
actually,
king of pay-per-view king.
Because the truth is, there's a guy named Mike Tyson who, what, a year or so ago did about $10 million with Roy Jones, and he's in his 50s. And there's a guy named Canelo who fought – something like that. I mean, he did over a million. There's a guy named Canelo that fought Plant. No, but there's a guy named, you know, Alvarez who fought Plant, and he did about eight. And he actually won.
Pretty good. He actually won. No, well, that's a plus, too.
But you
got to admit,
$750,000
is nothing to sneeze at. That's a good number.
I guess in this era, I mean, since it's such a lowbrow era for boxing, yeah, I guess it's okay. But you got to understand that I'm 51, so
big,
I'm used to Mike Tyson
too.
Numbers
yeah.
and things like that. I'm used to Oscar De La Hoya numbers, you know, throw Floyd in there. But the truth is, the Jake Paul and Tommy Fury, are really nothing more than well-schooled tough guy fighters. Tommy Fury comes from a family of fighters, so he's a better fighter than Jake Paul. And the fact is that Jake Paul still hasn't beaten a boxer, has he? He might have fought in a so-called boxer in Fury, but he has yet to beat one.
Yeah, and he lost that fight. I mean, I had to lose in that fight as well.
Well, yeah, because Tommy Fury knew, you know, when to hold, how to hold, and he knew when to turn it up when it was necessary for him to turn it up. I think he actually held back. I think maybe the fix was in or something, but I think he actually held back.
I don't think he held back.
But,
I don't think he held back. No, I don't think he. I don't think Fury is that great. I think he fought smart, but I don't think he's that great. You know, I mean, and I think that Jake Paul is probably better than we think he is, but I don't think Tommy Fury is really on that level either. He's only got eight fights.
He's better than
Troy. Did you buy the fight?
Basketball players he's been fighting. Listen, he's a whole lot better than the basketball players he's been fighting. But listen, I have a son. I have a son, and this is no joke. I'm not whatever you call it. He's 6'6". I've been training him since he was 9, right? He really doesn't love boxing, but he has all the tools. He's 6'6". His name is Malcolm X. If I give him to this trainer that I know in Baltimore and let him train for a year, he beats both of them, Jake Paul and Tommy Fury. He beats them both. And he probably
stops one
out of the two of them. 200 pounds.
How much does he weigh? Wow.
200. Yeah, he's 6'6",
man.
Pounds,
that's a
I'm pretty
big
sure
guy.
He's tall. He's slender right now, but he's going to fill out.
Yeah.
He's going to fill out because he's only 20 right now. 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's only 20. But I'm telling you, if I train my son, he'll beat them both. But I heard you mention also Pacquiao versus Conor Benn, right?
Yes.
The truth is, Pacquiao doesn't even need him. Pacquiao could retire right now and he'll be all right. But I guess he doesn't want to go out the way, the way he went, you know, losing to Ugas. He's going to come back. And the only thing that Conor has to worry about is his punch. That's it. That's what Conor has to worry about. If he's going to sit in there and trade with Pacquiao, he's going to get knocked out. He's going to get knocked out.
You think so? When was the last time Pacquiao fought?
I don't know the last time he fought. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
he fought in that little exhibition a couple of months ago. But
I didn't know that.
His last real fight was against Ugas. And I don't know, when was that fight, Steve? I don't like Robbie would not.
Was that last June?
Let me see here.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, gentlemen, this before I jump off, you know. What's the last thing to go on a fighter? Especially a power puncher.
Power.
Yeah, uh-huh. Just ask Michael Mora. It's not impossible. You all can say it's improbable, but when's the last time Conor Benn fought?
Well, he's certainly been busier than Pacquiao,
huh?
No, because
he was sat down. Remember, he came up dirty for the Benn, you know, for the, Banks fight, right? And then he was sat down for a while. So, you know, when is the last time he fought? And then you have to think, Pacquiao may be a little bit slower than he was, but he's still faster than anybody else that Conor Benn has fought, right? But I'm going to jump off on that note and leave y'all that to think about. I hope he does fight Benn, and I hope he fights him in England, and I hope he knocks him out, and then he retires. Then he retires. Also,
that could happen.
Okay, you gentlemen,
absolutely, you gentlemen
have a good night. But you know what, man? Listen, man. I heard you asking all those names that were in Creed. I didn't see your boy in Creed either. I didn't see Nestor in Creed. Nestor Gibbs. You have a good night. Nestor Gibbs. You have a good night.
All right, man.
He's in the next one.
He's in the next one. He's in the next one.
Ness is the man, bro. Don't hate on Ness.
What's the matter with you? April 16th of 2022, he fought Chris Van Heerden. And then December of 21, he fought Chris Algieri. This is Conor Benn I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
Now, let me see when the last time Pacquiao fought.
I think it was in 2021.
That's what somebody had down there.
Oh, no, yeah, when was that fight?
August 21st, 2021.
Okay, August. That's okay. That was against Ugas.
And there's, you know, maybe – so he'd be out of the ring 2 years, right?
2 years, yeah. But he's been doing exhibitions.
No, he's done one exhibition.
This
he's
one?
44.
How many exhibitions did he do? Only one?
Only one. And he's 44. He hasn't fought in 2 years. And he's fighting Conor Benn, who's, listen, not the greatest fighter on the planet, and he was on paper, you know, tailor-made. You guys saw him against Ugas. He's showed you who he is at this point in his career. That's who he is.
Yeah, he didn't look great against Ugas.
He didn't look great against Ugas, and I told you guys Ugas was going to beat him.
You did.
He's done. If he's waiting to get, listen, maybe he could fight Jake Paul or something like that and get a win that way. He ain't fighting. I'm telling you, Conor Benn will beat this kid. He'll beat him. He's 44.
Think Benn would beat him?
Yeah. I think
Benn beats
him.
Think Benn can need to call it a day?
Absolutely needs to call it a day. He should have called it a day after Ugas.
What if he has another exhibition like with Mayweather?
You know what? He's got a listen, both Mayweather and Pacquiao, they have to need money. There's nobody wants to get hit in the face anymore. You know what I mean? You don't want to get hit in the face. You don't want to, you know what I mean? And Mayweather can talk all this crazy stuff about his organized bank robbery and stuff like that. Listen, he didn't look too comfortable in that Logan Paul fight. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. And you know, you're not going to do these FaceTime things and charge people $4,000 if you got money, bro. I mean, there's something wrong here, bro.
Right? Something's
not adding up.
Now it's time to get back, and, you know, work with your businesses or whatever you did, whatever you set up, and instead you say, I want to get punched in the face again. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you can still get hurt in an exhibition.
You absolutely could get hurt. Again, you look at a guy like Jake Paul, how big he was. That was the first thing they started crying about after the fight was over. Oh, he was too big. He was too big, blah, blah, blah. You know? Look, I mean, they're going to take this series. They're going to take an exhibition seriously. Whoever he steps in against, a pros versus Joes scenario, they're going to take this completely seriously.
Everybody wants to be that first guy to knock Floyd Mayweather on his ass.
Right.
I agree.
Absolutely, man. I mean, who would, you know, they're going to want to see that, and they're going to want to do that.
I agree, bro.
You know, because if you do that to him, guess what? Your stock goes way up.
Of course.
So there it is, man.
I mean, you already lost to Logan Paul. I mean, what else can he do, man? You got a loss that's detrimental.
Yeah, but Logan Paul's from Titletown, man. You knew he wasn't going to win that one. I mean, come on.
That's right.
You knew that was happening. All right. What do you got? Thursdays, Thebe. The round table.
Oh, that's right. Thursday is the round table.
Jeez.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thursday is the round table. Make sure you check out the round table. This week it will be on D-Style Boxing's channel, and the week after that it will be on yours truly, Ringside Reporter Live.
I like the show better when Beeb's not on it. I like it better when D-Style's just the only, you know, he's up there.
Well, I've always been on it. I am the only person that's been on every single roundtable. I have not. I even had a date once. And after dinner was over, I made sure I rushed home, and I came on the second hour, and I just to keep the streak going.
So the date didn't go that well?
Oh, we're fine. But I had to keep the streak
going.
You
went right home after the date, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, she came over. I just stuck her in the bedroom and told her to wait till after she was
Wait, baby. I got to do the show real quick.
Yeah, that's right.
You stuck her in the bedroom.
Yeah, he gave her the remote, told her to
give her the remote. That was nice of you. That was nice of you.
Right. Told her to make me a nice iced tea and put it on the table, go in the room.
He said, has Eric been on the round table? Yeah, I go on there every now and then.
Been on a few times.
Yeah, I've been on a few times. We need more Eric on the round table. All right, well, I will definitely consider that, guys. I will definitely consider that. Guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week.
Sorry, Mrs. Herrick.
Ha ha.